I have a few things that I wanted to say, but somehow this reality of Teresa Benedict of the Cross is like so real. I just want to use the gospel to talk about her for a little bit, huh? See, there's a martyr. She's almost a contemporary of some of us here. I mean, like literally contemporary, contemporary. She died about 40 years ago in a gas oven. The blindness, the hatred. I didn't hear what was read out, but see, the Dutch bishops condemned the German persecution of the Jews, and the Germans occupied Holland. So, in revenge, they gathered up all the Jews they could find in Holland and shipped them off to kill them. See, this is one of the things that, I don't know why, Pius XII's critics don't take into account. Pius XII was walking a tightrope. If he condemned, he was condemning Jews to be murdered. And he knew that. So he hid them. He did a lot. But he had to watch what he said because of the vengeance that would be taken on the Jews. The Jewish ambassador to the Holy See just praised Pius XII for all that he did to save Jews. She was an intellectual, very good one. Her book on metaphysics, I have it upstairs. This is the strange thing, you see. I'm reading Edith Stein, and I'm hearing about her martyrdom. She worked with a man called Edmund Husserl, who founded a movement called phenomenology, which, when integrated into the whole tradition of Catholic thought, especially Thomism, is a very powerful liberating factor, freeing us. I know this is kind of, I hope not too boring, but freeing us from the shackles of the philosophies that were summed up by Immanuel Kant. I often speak, my confreres don't like to hear this, but I say, the Bible studies have been in Kantian captivity, like Babylonian captivity or like Kantian captivity. And it's the work of Husserl and the Catholic philosophers, especially Bob Sokolowski, who are breaking these bonds and liberating. One of my younger colleagues I'm working with just did a paper on Sokolowski's contribution to biblical studies. Well, she worked with Husserl, and she was clearly his prized pupil. She couldn't get a job in a university because she was Jewish and she was a woman. So she turned herself to what they would call what would be like a college for women. I mean, the big Germany lives by intellectuality, you know that, or at least they did. So to be Herr Professor is to be über alles, means to be everything. But she couldn't, because she was Jewish and because she was a woman. She began to think very hard about the reality of woman, and she's a very good metaphysician. She paved the way for another friend of mine who's finally got it on how to express this reality of man and woman. The problem is our minds are so fallen that we cannot conceive of equality without competition. And the whole mystery of being the image of God is that there is equality and complementarity. There was this fellow Bowl, physicist who first began to use this term, and it was picked up by Dietrich von Hildebrand, another fine, also friend of Husserl's, philosopher, Catholic this time, who nearly was killed because of his stand against Nazism, particularly in regard to Jews. So Edith Stein, but this time was an atheist, more or less. And she read the life of Teresa of Avila. I don't know how much of this you already heard, but this is this woman's pilgrimage. And it got a hold of her heart. Well, you can imagine Teresa loving her, praying for her, helping her from heaven. And so she became a Catholic, was teaching in some girl's school. The insult. Anyway, I mean, the insult, not teaching in the girl's school is a fine thing, but that this woman with these incredible philosophical talents being, you know, so finally, as you just heard, I'm sure she joined the Carmelites. She took the name Teresa Benedicta. Teresa, because it was Teresa who led her to the Lord. And Benedicta, because Benedict is the patron of Europe. Along with her, now, you may have, that was John Paul II did that. And so, she had this fire of love for the Lord. She had a large correspondence for a Carmelite, but it was all philosophical. And she has been the one who most helped this very close friend of mine, Sister Prudence Allen, who's out in Chicago, in Detroit, in Denver, to come to this breakthrough. All this time with this fire love of the Lord. And so when she was rounded up as a Jew, put into a boxcar. You see, she cared for all her fellow Jews. You see how grace makes us more human? So she, with all the motherly instinct of her heart, cared for these little kids who were being taken off to be gassed to death. And then after that, just turn on the other hand and burn all their bodies and incinerate them, which is what a lot of the people do now with the corpses of the aborted children. Finally, she also went into the furnace, the gas chamber, and gave her life. Now, because we're all so weak and human, you see, when she was canonized, a lot of Jews said, you should not canonize her. It wasn't as a Christian that she died, it was as a Jew that she died. And the answer was, of course. Of course. But we're honoring her because she had heroic holiness. But there's no doubt at all that she died as a Jew. Don't you get the point? The last thing I'm going to say about this, I promise you, this is not the homily I prepared. I have a very dear friend who's Palestinian, Suad Haddad. And she's Palestinian, she lives over there. And she just didn't like Jews. They can be very arrogant, very pushy, very all kinds of stuff, you know. As Chesterton once said, how odd of God to choose the Jews. But they do have something deeper than that, you know. So anyway, she finally met a young Israeli woman about her age, and they became great friends. That changes everything, doesn't it? And they organized and went on a pilgrimage to either Dachau or Auschwitz, I've forgotten which. And that overwhelms Fuad to see what these people had suffered. And these two work together all the time in northern Israel right now. Probably with the help of the prayers of Rita Stein. There's a thread through all of that, huh? The love of the Father for the people he chose. And the sadness that so many are not even Jews anymore. I mean, you know, they're not practicing, they're not faithful. That's why it was Cardinal, come on, is it Perlman? No. He's in Austria, Schönborn, Cardinal Schönborn, said to me, they had a big dialogue, and he said to me, Francis, listen, the future of Catholic-Jewish dialogue is to dialogue with the extreme Orthodox, because they're very, very Jewish. They don't like us, but if we can get them to dialogue, that's the future. And it's turned out that way, because they're very committed, they're very religious, they're very, and they know their stuff. And I'm sure that Edith Stein prays for that. So she's a woman of our age, as it were, huh? And she pointed the way toward what Prudence has picked up, and when that her book comes out, it will be the final breakthrough on how you understand equality without competition, equality without conflict, which is so difficult for us to grasp. She just sent me some stuff, and I'm in a footnote there. And she said, we've been working together for 20 years. And she said, this is a great example of this complementarity I'm talking about. We've been working together for 20 years. And I tell him, I will correct his philosophical aberrance, and he'll correct my heresies, you see. All right, I'll quit. I hope I'm not too late. Oh, yes, I am. But this reality, see, this person, this woman, and all that God did in her, and that John Paul II, of course, being a mystic himself, saw. And that's why this Jewish woman is the patron, with Benedict, of Christian Europe.